Good morning. We all know what today is, right? Mother's Day. So you know what to do after the service, right? Okay, my message will not be on Mother's Day. But it will be related to last Sunday. Last Sunday I talked about our identity in Christ. And today I'm going to speak on what kind of life do we have in Christ. We all know that in the Bible there are a lot of teachings and regulations and commands that we need to obey. Now the problem is, can we obey them? Do we have the power to obey them? If we don't, then it really becomes all the teachings and so on become a great burden, isn't it? And that's why a lot of people rebel against Christianity, because they hear all these things, oh, very nice, but I can't do it. And so you're forcing me to follow, and so I rebel. Well, I was like that when I was a teenager. Like I was brought up in a Roman Catholic school in Hong Kong, and I was taught many, many things, you know, to follow this and this and this. But I very soon rebelled against it. In fact, later on, I became an atheist. I rebelled against God, and I denied His existence, you know. And it's purely out of His grace, His power, and His love, that in Christ He changed me completely. Now, then I discovered, as I studied the Bible, that not only has Christ saved us from judgment in the future, from alienation from God, but also in Christ, God has given us a new life. And in this new life, we have power. We have power to follow God, follow Christ, and obey Him. And that's the key, right? Because we have this power, we can do it. If we don't, well, we are still, you know, bound. Now, this is what the Bible talks about anyone who is outside Christ. Anyone who is not in Christ, who is outside Christ, who does not have Christ, who does not believe in Christ and follow Christ, he or she is bound by sin, like a slave to sin, bound by sin. It's only when we come to Christ in repentance and faith and start following Christ that we get a new life in Christ. And so this is all in Christ, all right? That's the key, all in Christ. Now, so let's take a look first at Romans chapter 6, verse 5. If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. Now, the key words will be united with Him. Repeated, right? United with Him. Now, as we come to Christ in repentance and faith, and show it by confession in our baptism, we become united with Christ. And that's the key, united with Christ. That's how we get our life in Christ and our power. Now, take a look at this picture. Is there anything strange about this tree? Anything? No, you won't find any golden apples there. Take a look at the branches. Now, these branches really don't belong to this tree. Okay? Actually, they have been transplanted. Okay? This tree should not have these branches and leaves. But these branches and leaves have been transplanted to this tree. Now, before that, these branches may be dying. Maybe the trees where they came from were dying. And maybe they're dead already. But after the transplant, they get their life, their nourishment from this tree, right? And they begin to blossom. Now, that's a picture of us in Christ. Before that, we were dead. We were dead in sin. But now we've been transplanted into Christ. And because Christ is the resurrected Lord, is the Lord of life, so in Him we have this life now, all right? And that's the key. In Christ we have the life. Now, so in Romans chapter 6, verse 5, it says, if we have been united with Him like this in His death. So how are we united in Christ? Well, there are two key things. One would be the death of Christ. The other would be the resurrection of Christ. Now, when we're united with Christ, we are united with Christ in His death. All right? United in His death. And then we're united in His resurrection. These are the two key things describing our life in Christ. So first of all, let's take a look at the united in death. In verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. In other words, before, we were slaves to sin. But no longer, okay, no longer. Now that we are in Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin. Now, what kind of slaves are these? Well, we are bound by, for example, it said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to verse 21, immorality, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, envy, drunkenness. These are examples of sins that we are bound, we are slaves to. Immorality, I don't need to talk about it. No, today, not only are we so immoral, we don't even know what morality is anymore. So everybody has his own standard. And the only thing is that we need to accept and tolerate everybody. You do whatever you like, I do whatever I like. And this is what the world is like. Idolatry, witchcraft. There are more and more people who practice witchcraft today. In the States, there are over 1.5 million people who regularly practice witchcraft. And it's gaining speed. Hatred and jealousy. Our problem lies not only in our behavior. It's inside us, right? Inside us, we are jealous. We are self-centered. We hate. We cannot tolerate people. We have selfish ambition. We envy people. Now, we are bound. As human beings, we are bound. And it's only in Christ that we are released. We are free from all these sins. And these are the things that we need to be freed from. So the Bible talks about being slave and now being free. And this is a very, very important thing. Well, once there was a guy, you know, and he drank a lot and he got drunk. And so he was ambling his way along. And then he got to the river side, you know, the river front. And there he saw a few rowing boats parking along the riverside. Now, it was a beautiful night. A full moon in the sky, you know. And he said, I'm going to take a boat. So he jumped into the boat, one boat, and he started rowing. Now, of course, being drunk, very soon he got tired, and he fell asleep. So after a long while, he suddenly jerked up and said, oh, where am I now? And then he looked around. You know what? He's still by the riverside. Why? Because that boat was tied by a rope to the ferry, okay? So even all the time he was rowing and the boat didn't even move 1 inch because it's tied. Now that's a picture of us being a slave to sin. We tried our best. Oh, I'm going to be a good person. I'm not going to do this anymore, and so on and so on. And yet, we are bound. We're bound. But thankful to God, in Christ now, that rope is broken. And we are no longer bound by sin. We are dead, okay? We are dead to sin because we are joined with Christ in His death. Now, not only that, we are united in His resurrection. Now, you may say, how come we are united in His resurrection? First of all, I'm not dead, and then I'm not alive again. Well, we are united in His resurrection in a spiritual way. Now, Christ died on the cross, and then on the third day, He rose from the dead, okay? He rose to eternal life, okay? He would not die again, okay? Never died again. That's eternal life. Now, we are today united in Christ to His resurrection. That means the life that He has now is also in us because we are united in Christ. So the life He has is now running through us. Well, specifically, what does it mean? It means that we are alive to, well, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, verse 23, talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And it's described as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we are alive to these things. You know, before, we want to have love. We want to really, really be willing to lay down ourselves, you know, forget my own interests, to help people, to care for people, to love people. But we couldn't. Very soon, you know, we're engulfed in self-interest, in jealousy, hatred, etc., etc., right? But now, in Christ, we can. We can experience joy in spite, even in the midst of difficulties and trials and even persecution. We can rejoice. And peace. Even though, you know, you'll be facing an exam, or maybe you'll be facing a job interview, and usually, you know, you'll be, oh, just worry, right? Worry so much you cannot even eat or sleep. But now, in Christ, you can let Christ take care of your worries. You can lay all your burdens upon Him, and you feel free. Now, so we are not only dead to sin, we're also alive, all right? Alive. Because we are united with Christ in His resurrection. Now, that's great. And yet, I mean, if we are honest to ourselves, that somehow doesn't seem to be our experience, isn't it? It doesn't seem to be that easy. Instead, I just feel a lot of struggles inside me. And I feel that at one point, you know, I really want to follow God, and I want to love you and so on. And yet, there seems still to be a force that draws me back into hatred, into hostility, into jealousy and envy and so on. How come it's like that? Well, it's true, because this is what the Bible says too. That desire to sin still exists. Okay? It's still there. And because of that, we are drawn, okay, we're drawn to two sides. One, we want to follow Christ and be a loving person. And yet, at the same time, you know, we go back to our old self. We want to live out for ourselves. We don't care about people, etc., etc. So, as a result, we are in a spiritual warfare. We are in a spiritual warfare. This is what it said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the sinful nature, okay, that force that draws you into sin, okay, that's force, desires what is contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit draws you to God, to Christ. But the sinful nature draws you back. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. And so, there are these two forces, and they're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want, even though you decide to follow Christ, even though you decide to be a loving person, and yet you still cannot do it. You are in the midst of a conflict. Now you may say, well, then what's the difference with a non-Christian? Well, a non-Christian is bound. There's no conflict, all right? There's no conflict. He just goes that way. But now you're in Christ, you're drawn, okay? But this being drawn is not a even force, all right? It doesn't mean that, you don't really know where you end up to. No, because the force that the Spirit draws you with is much stronger, it's much, much stronger. But it needs your cooperation. All right? It needs your cooperation. Now, without the work of the Holy Spirit, you try and you fail. But now, with the work of the Holy Spirit, you still need to cooperate. Because you can resist this force of the Holy Spirit and resist Him. And then you'll be drawn back into your old self. Now, so, I'm going to share with you the three secrets to really experience the victory and freedom in Christ, all right? But before I share that, I want to come back here It's only because we are in Christ, all right? In Christ, remember these two words, in Christ, that we can do it, all right? If we leave Christ, if we go away from Christ, whatever you do, whatever methods I tell you, it's going to fail, all right? You must continue to be in Christ. Okay, now, what are these three steps? First of all, number one, know. In verse 6, for we know, right? For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Paul especially emphasized this word, know. In fact, why did Paul write chapter 6 of Romans? So that we who read will know, okay? He wants us to know. Now, why is this so important? Because a lot of Christians don't know. And as a result, they end up in failure. We need to know first. And that's why we have the Bible. That's why Paul writes this chapter. Now, we need to know. Because if we don't know, we'll fail. Now, once there was a farmer, a chicken farmer, right? A chicken farmer. And he has lots and lots of chickens, okay? Lots of chickens in his farm. Now, one day when he went out to look at his chicken, he saw a baby eagle. I don't know how you call it, egret or whatever. A baby eagle, okay, lying on the road. Apparently, it was abandoned by the parent for whatever reason. And the baby eagle was there. Now, he took pity at the baby eagle, so he brought it back to his farm and helped it, and it just grew up together with the other chicken. Now, because it grew up together with the other chicken, it never knows what it is, all right, as an eagle. And so it behaves exactly like an eagle, chicken. And you know what a chicken is like, right? A chicken will just hop, 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 all right? And then the peck on the grains, right? So this eagle, even after it's grown, would behave like a chicken. And so it hops around and then peck at the grains and so on, right? Okay, then one day, an environmentalist, a naturalist, came along. And he came to this farm, and then he saw this eagle. And this eagle was behaving like a chicken. And he was very surprised. So he asked the farmer, and the farmer said, well, it's because of this and this. Now, being an environmentalist, a naturalist, he wants, of course, everything to be restored, right, to nature. So he asked the farmer, well, would you be willing to let me help this eagle to set it free? The farmer said, well, go ahead, go ahead. So this environmentalist, naturalist, put the eagle on his arm, and then he said, eagle, eagle, you are not chicken. Fly away. Well, this eagle, of course, didn't know what he was mumbling about. And instead, he looked down, and he saw the chicken hopping around. So right away, he jumped down and continued to hop around. And he tried and tried and tried again and failed every time. At last, he thought of an idea. So he took his eagle all the way up to the mountain and went up to the cliff, right, by the side of the cliff. And again, he put the eagle in his arm and he said, eagle, eagle, you are an eagle. So fly away. Now this time, the eagle looked down, couldn't see any chicken. And he looked at the sky. And it started to spread its wing, which is about 4 or 5 feet wide, and flap its wings, and then start to fly. And then it soared up into the sky, and behaved just like an eagle. Now let me ask you, are you a chicken or an eagle? Eh? Well, maybe you don't know you're an eagle, but now, I've shared with you God's word, right? Romans, you should know, okay? You should know. You are free because you have the power in Christ, all right? Now, you should know now. So, okay, there's no longer an excuse. So, first of all, we need to know. We need to know. And then, we need to believe. We need to believe. In verse 11. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Believe. Well, even though you know, if you don't believe, it's not going to help you, right? He said, very nice. But how can it be for me? Maybe it's true for him, you know, like he grew up in a Christian family and a very, very nice background. But not me. I come from a broken home. And my parents are drug addicts, etc., etc. How can I be like that? Now, if you don't believe, you will not experience the victory. You need to believe. Now, when you believe, you count yourselves as dead to sin and alive in Christ. Okay, you consider yourself, regard yourself as dead to sin and alive in Christ. So that when you face a temptation, you say, I am in Christ and I can overcome it, even though in the past 20 years you never overcame it. But now you say, I am in Christ and I believe I have the power to overcome it. You count yourself as victorious over it, right? Some of you know that I was a missionary in Japan for a number of years. Now in Japan, there's a very famous sport, which is called sumo. Small wrestling. You know the wrestling? I don't know whether you have seen these primitive giants. Now, in my time, you know, when I was in Japan, there was a champion. He was a champion for a number of years. And he won almost every match. Now, in fact, he wasn't that big, okay? He was only about 180 centimeters. Now, to us, it's pretty tall. But for sumo wrestlers, you know, the average over 190. And the average weight is over 300 pounds. And this guy, you know, was only maybe 220 pounds, all right? So among these small giants, he was a midget, all right? And yet, he was a champion. He won constantly. Now, what was his secret? He shared about his secret, you know, because before they wrestle, this is what they will do. They will go to the center of the ring, and then they will stare at each other. All right? They'll stare at each other. They will then stand up and stare at each other. Now, why would they do that? Well, it's a psychological warfare, right? You look down on the others, right? You look down on the others, you scare him, and you feel the confidence surging up in yourself. And then you can win, right? Now, this is what happened to this champion. You know, even though when he stood up, actually, usually he was shorter, all right? He needed to look up. He needed to look up his opponent. But he said, every time when I looked at an opponent, I imagine myself, concern myself, not looking up, but looking down at him. And then I could really put all my strength into use. Now, he was a very powerful, even though he was a little bit small, he was very powerful grips and very quick, okay? That's why he won. But because he considered himself bigger, stronger, faster, even though he may not be, he considered himself better, stronger. And as a result, he won. Now, when you face temptation, you go in and you say, oh, I've always failed. When this comes up, you know, like when exam comes, I always worry. Worry so much. Or something happens, bad happens. I always get depressed. I'm so depressed, and I get depressed for a whole month, etc., etc. And so on. Or you face a certain temptation, sexual temptations, or whatever bad habits. You say, I always gave in, and this time I'll give in too. Now, if you do that, you will, of course, give in. You won't even fight, isn't it? But if you consider yourself in Christ, I now have the power to overcome it. I'm not scared of it. I will overcome it. Well, you will experience that victory because the power in Christ is stronger than anything, anyone. All right? Now, so consider yourself, believe, all right? And then finally, what happens? Can you just turn on the other side? Stuck. Is it stuck? Oh, is there? Huh. Well, okay. Oh, okay. All right, the third step, the third secret, the third step is to offer your whole person in service to God. Verse 13. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. Now, because of such great power in us in Christ, so what we need to do now is to offer ourselves completely to Christ. Now here, Paul used the word body, right? By the word body, he doesn't really just mean our physical body, okay? It's not just a physical body, but rather our whole person, which would of course include our body. Our whole person to God, to Christ, as what? Instruments, not of sin, but of instruments of holiness, of righteousness, of our whole person. Well, starting from our body. So look at your body. Are you really dedicating your whole body to Christ? Have you dedicated your eyes to Christ? What do you see? What do you get from what you see? Have you dedicated your mouth to Christ? What do you say? Do you say things that build up people? Words of love? Or do you say hateful things? Do you say things in anger? Do you spread rumors behind people's back? Do you hurt people by what you say? Do you dedicate your ears to Christ? What do you hear? What kind of music do you hear? What kind of words do you hear? Do you just want to hear about gossip, rumors, fake news? Do you dedicate your arms, your hands to Christ? What do you make? Do you dedicate your feet, your legs to Christ? Where do you go? All this we need to dedicate to Christ as instruments of righteousness, not as instruments of sin. And then your mind. What do you think about? What do you input into your mind? When you go on the internet, what do you input into your mind? Do you think of good things, excellent, noble, good, helpful things? Or do you think about wrongful things, lies, hatred? Do you think about what people have done wrong to you? And do you think about how you can hurt people? Now, so, are you dedicating your mind to Christ? And what about your emotion? Are you dedicating your emotion to Christ? Not be engulfed by anger. Now, anger is natural, okay? And the Bible does not condemn anger just by itself. But if you keep on dwelling in anger, and cultivate a long-lasting bitterness against someone, that is sin. Now, are you dedicating your emotion to Christ? Anger, depression, worries, anxiety, etc., etc. Some people say, well, because I was hurt. I was hurt deeply, and I cannot help myself. Well, yeah, outside of Christ, you cannot help yourself. But now you are in Christ. Okay? You can overcome it. Now, of course, it takes time. It takes effort. It takes the help of the church, church people, brothers and sisters. But you can. You can. So, are you dedicating all these to Christ, your whole person to Christ? Now, so these three steps. Know, believe, and then dedicate your whole life to Christ. And if you follow these, and this will not be instantaneous, you know, you will not suddenly, you know, next hour you become the holiest person. You will not sin anymore. It doesn't mean that. We'll continue to sin, but you know the difference? It doesn't mean absence of sin. But rather, it means that we have power to overcome sin. Now, even though we have power to overcome sin, still is a spiritual battle, and we need to keep on fighting. Sometimes we fail in this battle, sometimes we get defeated, but we get up again, and continue the fight, okay, until one day we see the Lord. Now, so, that's the difference. We can, but we need to keep on. Now, so if you keep on practicing these three steps, you will be experiencing a victorious Christian life in Christ. It's yours, all right? It's yours. But are you living it out? Okay, let's close in prayer. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we want to offer thanksgiving because you have prepared such a wonderful salvation for us. It is a complete one, not just for the future, for eternity, but also for the present. For the present that you have given us a new life in Christ, that as a united person in Jesus Christ, united with Him, we're united in His death, and we're united in His resurrection, so that we can now live for you and leave aside all our sinful ways and our habits. But Lord, we know that this may not be our experience, and very often we fail. But we learn today how we can experience the victory. So help us, grant us your power to live this out in our lives. We pray in the victorious name of Christ. Amen.